Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? As we look at this bread, we need to take this communion. See, we do it every Sunday, but I want to make sure that we don't do it out of habit. I want to make sure that we don't do it out of ritual. Make sure that we don't do it just because it's something that we do every Sunday. Do it on purpose. Make sure that we're releasing our faith to receive what God has in store for us in this communion. Paul said to discern the body of Christ. So when we look at this bread, we need to see Christ in this bread. How this bread is made without yeast. This, Jesus' body was certainly without sin. This, and yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. And this bread has been beaten flat. Jesus was beaten and bruised for us. This bread has stripes in it. And it's by His stripes that we were healed, and this bread has been pierced. Everywhere Jesus shed His blood, we get redemption for that in some area. I've said this before, but if you ever end up, get a chance to go to a Catholic church, go around there and visit the Stations of the Cross. If you don't know what the Stations of the Cross, ask somebody there what the Stations of the Cross are. They'll point them to you. There'll be pictures on the wall all the way around that church. Go around there and pray those prayers. The top one, not the one where it says to pray to Mary, but the other one. There are two prayers on the Stations of the Cross. Go look at each station and look at it and receive that redemption by faith. He was pierced on purpose. And it was for you. Also, this bread is slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment that was meant for us was laid on Him on that cross. When He took our sins, see, Jesus didn't deserve. Number one, He didn't deserve to be scourged. Number two, He didn't deserve to be crucified. We did. But He took what we deserved so that we could receive what He deserved. Amen. And His body was broken. We're taking this for our health and our healing. Jesus' blood was shed on purpose. It was not spilled. There's a false teaching running rampant in the church where they talk about His blood being spilled. I mean, it was an accident. There was no accident in this. It was on purpose. He was God's perfect sacrifice for us. And it's because of His shed blood that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because our sins have been washed completely away. And His blood protects us. And His blood seals in the New Testament promises for us. We thank You for this. Open your Bibles up to Romans chapter 14. Father, we thank You this morning for this beautiful day that You have given us, that has been brought to us by our resurrected Lord and Savior. We thank You for Holy Spirit that is here to teach us and guide us. You've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Father, we thank you that as we take your word into our hearts, it produces fruit for you and your kingdom, some hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold return on your word. We thank you that your word in us will sprout and produce fruit. We praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever heard the saying, that guy has no scruples? If you have no scruples at all, if you had any scruples at all, you wouldn't do that. Well, today we're going to talk about non-essential scruples. These are things that the church has found themselves stumbling over, arguing about, bickering about, complaining about, whining about, judging others about, and it's got to stop. It just got to stop. Non-essential scruples. Let's read Romans chapter 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believes that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herb. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God has received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yet he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord does he not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord. He that giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge just rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. There's a lot in there. There's basically 20 duties of Christians in there. Basically, he's given us 20 things in there to not get sidetracked by non-essential scruples. Let's look at verse 1. This is a biggie. This is a huge deal with me. Mostly because I lived through it. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Number 1. Fellowship each other in spite of personal differences. You know, they're not anybody the same. They're not anybody going to believe all the same things as you. And just because they don't believe the same thing as you do, doesn't mean they're wrong. It doesn't mean you're right. And you're not to use that as an occasion to make them seem less and you seem more righteous than the other. The church is rampant with this. And it's got to stop. We're to love one another in Christ. You know, when a man gets born again, that's his spirit got born again. But there's a lot of things that need to be worked out between him and God. And then, people are like onions, you know. You get this unusable kind of dry skin on the outside, and you peel that off, and you get a little bit softer skin, but it's still tough and still not usable. And you cut through that and you peel that one off, and then you get this immutable stuff. But there's some better stuff deep inside, and it takes God a little while to get down to the inside of that person and let that person flourish, if you will. One of the hardest things for a lot of Christians to do is to let new Christians develop at God's pace. Well, he's been born again a month. Why is he still an idiot? I don't know. Why are you? Well, I'm not an idiot. Then why did you call him an idiot? You need to praise God that he's alive in Christ. Amen. And love on him long enough to let him develop into the Christian that God wants him to be. Amen. Amen. Fellowship each other in spite of your personal differences. I don't care if they are a Denver Broncos fan. Need to just let it go. Number two, we'll find it in verse 3 here. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God has received him. Don't despise each other. You know, there's a crazy thing. I've seen it a lot. Somebody will get a blessing, maybe a substantial blessing, and there'll be other Christians sitting there saying, why did he get blessed? He's a rat fink. I've been serving in the church. I've been doing this. I've been going to church for 35 years. And he got blessed. They may not say it out loud, but I see it in their faces. I see it in their actions. Why don't you just shout for joy that guy got blessed and praise God that you're next? Amen. Remember, God said in his word so that he would supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not out of his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, but according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, we go by supply and demand. That's just the way we are. We're people. You know, and if I get $100 and I bless Mike with $10, well, I've got 90. Because it was out of my riches. But God, he can bless Mike with 1,000 and he's still got the same that he had before. Amen. So then he can bless Paula with 1,000 and it still didn't make a dent in his finances. See how God operates? Unfortunately, a lot of people don't. Because when it comes time for churches to bless somebody, they say, well, we've got 10,000. So all of a sudden this money that we were giving to God, all of a sudden changes. It's not in God's hands anymore. Now it's up. So now it's going to be out of our supply. How did that happen? Didn't you just give it to God? His supply is not going to end. Amen. So it doesn't matter if you help somebody. God's got more than enough to meet that supply. Amen. You're not going to be poverty stricken because you help somebody. Look at, we just read this. I'm not going to read it all the way through again, but all the way verses 3 through 13 is big on this. Do not judge each other. Do not judge each other. You know what you do when you do that? You put yourself in this special seat that's reserved for God. It's not up to you to be the fruit inspector. There's a lot of fruit inspectors. And it's just not any of your business. See, Christ produces the fruit in people's lives. And if you don't think somebody's producing enough fruit, then you're calling Christ not good enough. You know, everybody will produce in their own time, in their own season. God is the husbandman. He's going to cause that fruit to grow in people's lives. Your job is to fellowship with them and encourage them and edify them and help them grow into the person that God wants them. Not judge them. Amen? Let's look at 4, verse 4. Chapter 14, but look at verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yet he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. Recognize that each man is God's servant and personally responsible to God for what he allows himself to do aside from what is forbidden. You know, there's a lot of things that Christians look down their noses at other people for doing stuff that is not forbidden. It's not. You know, my friend, he was a pastor, and we were visiting one time, and he said, you know, according to our church laws that he was ordained in, he said, I don't qualify to be a pastor. And I said, why not? Why don't you qualify? And he said, well, he had drank a half a beer one time. That counts me out. Do you see what man does? I sometimes the things that I hear coming out of people's mouths are just so unbelievable that I just One time I told a lady, she said, "You need to just shut up, mind your own business." And I walked off from her. But I was in a church one time, and I was getting ready to preach. And this old lady was sitting there, and she said, "How many times have you been married?" And I said, "Once." "How many times has your wife been married?" I said, "Well, I'm her second one." "Well, that counts you out from being a pastor." I said, "How do you figure that? Why don't you just mind your own business?" I walked away. I said, my goodness, how hard can a man make things on people? Yeah. Well, Jesus said, you guys go all over the place making proselytes out of people, bringing them in. That's a good thing, but then you put so much on them that they can't live up to it. Jesus took the yoke off of people. He set people free. Amen? As far as their past was concerned, he said, it's taken care of. Recognize that each man is God's servant. They belong to God. Not you. They belong to God. Look back at verse 4 again. "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falleth. Yeah, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand." Now, go over to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." You need to understand that no man will fall who consciously follows God and the light he has received. This tears a lot of people up. That man might only have one light bulb, but it's on. That might be the only thing he might know, is that he's born again. That might be the one and only thing he knows. That's good enough for a little while. That might be the only thing. He knows that God raised Jesus back to life, and he asked Jesus to be his Savior. He believed. He confessed Jesus to be his Lord. He's born again, and that might be the only thing he has. And he might be crazier than a pet coon. Believe me, it happens. He might be running around out there believing that he's born again. Well, 75% of the church is sitting there saying, there's absolutely no way that guy's born again. He's still crazy as he was the day before yesterday. Some pastors might even say, boy, you're going to hell. There's no way you're born again. I've heard that. You didn't get born again right. My friend, I was witnessing to my friend. He was getting ready to clock out. He told me, he said, it's just about time. I said, well, Pat, you need to get born again. And he said, how many times do I got to do that? And I said, well, how many times have you done that? And he said, I don't know, but I'll tell you what, he worked at Metal Camp. And that was a camp up in the Black Hills of Wyoming. And they'd have all these church retreats up there, and they had 4-H camps and all this stuff. And anyway, he was a custodian up there one summer. And there was a little bitty lake, a little bitty pond out there. The creek come running down through this pond. People go down there and catch trout, fish. Well, anyway, they had one of these church retreats up there, and they were out there baptizing people. So Pat walked down there to the pond and said, "What are y'all doing down there?" He said, "Well, we're baptizing people." He said, "Oh." So they said, "Do you know Jesus?" He said, "No." So they went through their little spiel, and he got down in the lake, and he got baptized. So then, a week or two later, they had another church retreat. So he walked up there to the water. They were down there baptizing people. He said, "What are y'all doing?" Told him. "So I did that a couple weeks ago." I said, "Oh yeah, how'd you do that?" He told him. "Said, oh, you did it all wrong." So he's back in the pond again. A week or two later, there's another church retreat. Pat goes down to the water. Said, "What are you doing?" They told him. He went through the same thing. Pat's back in the water again. Pat jumped in the water 7 times that summer. Man's doctrine has gotten in the way of the love of Christ in so many ways. Now you can understand why there's a lot of frustrated people out there. They got these little scruples that they don't agree with. They got different ideas. So, well, your way just can't be good enough. You know, we don't recognize your ordination. You know, if you want to preach here, you got to get ordained from our way. Yeah. But understand this. This guy has got a light, and God will give him more light. He'll teach him another revelation. He'll get another revelation. And that's another light. But don't look down your nose at that guy because he comes up with this new revelation. This is a big, huge thing to him. It may be something that you learned 30 years ago, but it's huge to this new believer. It's a very important thing to him. And you need to celebrate with him that he got it. Man, you got it. You know, Jesus did that. Jesus did that with Peter. Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah," Simon Peter. You didn't get that from man. You got it from God. Amen? He said, "Blessed are you." It seemed like a small thing to Jesus, but to a lot of people. But to Jesus, he treated it like a big thing. Simon Peter got a huge revelation. To him at the time, that was a big, big thing. Amen? Look at verse 6 of Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 6. "He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he does not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks." Now, I want you to turn over to Galatians chapter 4. This is a big thing, even here in good old Fort Davis. Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. "But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage. You observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are. You have not injured me at all. Now, he's talking about these traditions. We have this town is loaded with it. Certain days. You know how many people used to try to look down their noses at me? They'd say, well, where do you go to church? I'd tell them where I went to church. Say, when do you guys meet it? Tuesday night and Saturday night. You don't meet on Wednesday and Sunday? No. No. I like to watch football on Sunday. I'm just telling you some of the foolishness that I ran into. Now, go over to Colossians chapter 2, since we're over here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Of ordinances. Ordinances. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moons or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Judge no man as to the Sabbath that he keeps. If he wants to keep a Sabbath, that's okay. Go ahead. If you don't want to keep the Sabbath, don't. It says it's a shadow of things to come. We're going to cover this later, but I'm going to talk just on this, and then we'll close. Judge no man as to what he eats or drinks. Some Word of Faith preachers one time I was eating with, and we went to this place to eat, and they had catfish with crawdad etouffee on it. I'm having that. And they got all ruffled up, and they said, you should not eat bottom feeders. I said, no, don't even try that with me. I'm going to eat every bottom feeder crossing my path. I like catfish and I like crawdads. I'm having it. You should eat tilapia. I said, well, I like tilapia. I like catfish and crawdads. So I was watching TV one day, and they had Dirty Jobs on there. And this guy said he was going to a tilapia farm. I thought, well, how dirty can that be? This is a sewage treatment plant. They use the tilapia to eat the solids out of there. So I thought, I'm going to stick with catfish and crawdads myself. So one day we were driving down the road, and one of them Word of Faith preachers was with me. And there was a sewage treatment plant over there. And I said, look, it's a tilapia farm. He swore off tilapia. Understand this. There is absolutely no animal on the face of this earth that is deemed unclean in the New Testament. Not one. They're all clean. One of the kids, I'd fish and I'd catch carp, and we'd throw them on the bank. I said, man, that is trash fish. I couldn't believe my eyes when I found out that probably 75% of the world counts carp as one of their main sources of protein. You know, when I was a kid, even growing up, we hear about people, every once in a while, people eating a goat, and we'd say, you got to be kidding me. Yeah, you got to be pretty desperate to eat a goat. We'd eat every antelope that crossed our path. But then we come down here and I ate a goat and I thought, this is like 100 times better than any antelope I ever ate in my life. Americans, especially American Christians, are some of the most judgmental people on the face of this earth. Amen. You know how many people have told me, you eat menudo? I say, yeah, I love it. That's wonderful stuff. You know, the church I came out of, they were pretty freewheeling. You know, my friend got bucked off a horse one too many times. He ate that horse. I'm serious. Who decided it's not okay to eat horse? Americans, in all their wisdom, and they did it in the name of righteousness, a lot of them. You know, I seen this graph, and these guys drew this line. They said, where do you draw the line at? You know, right after a cow, you can eat a sheep, a goat, pig. And then there was a dog standing there, a horse. Where do you draw the line? I'm going to tell you something. If you're hungry, there's no sacred line. You'll eat what you catch. So we got people all over the world that are eating what they can get their hands on. And that doesn't make them any less human than us. Amen? And in fact, some of them are born again people. They're doing what they have to do to survive. There is nothing unclean to eat. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for setting us free, especially from man-made laws. We thank you, Father, for the law of love, liberty, and faith that you have instilled in us. We thank you for putting us in this beautiful country. And we are free in Jesus. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We have coffee and fellowship and snacks back here. Everybody come on back.